This is BSD. Hello, I'm Chris Stevenson.
And I'm Gianluca Baroni.
And welcome to the Media Weekly podcast from PhD, where we and some very special guests break down the week's media agenda, making some leaps into what it all means for media and marketing.
Coming up this week is part one of two special edition end of year episodes. We'll be hearing the perspectives directly from our senior leadership across the network and around the world about the key leaps they think marketers will need to make in 2023.
Yeah, it's a great conversation with some great leaps discussed all ahead for 2023. But up ahead now, here's the weekly news with Pollyanna Ward.
Hi everyone, Pollyanna Ward here, and I'll be sharing the latest news from the advertising industry, which I hope will spark some engaging conversations around the coffee machine in your office this week. It's been a while since I've shared a YouTube update, so I'm very happy to share that my first story this week is all about the popular video sharing site. Announced on YouTube's Creator Insider channel, the platform is testing quizzes with a select amount of creators, which many are arguing is a direct hit at TikTok's Q&A feature and Instagram's quiz sticker. Creators who are in the test can find the feature in their YouTube community tab, a place where they can already share mixed media beyond just text that's found in the comments section. This isn't the only additional tab that YouTube have been testing, as earlier this year, they looked at adding a promotions tab where creators could purchase ads or access shopping features for their YouTube Shorts. Zooming out, this to me points to a broader trend we're seeing in the digital landscape. Creators are important. They attract people to platforms and keep them there. And with this latest test, YouTube are looking at ways to empower their creators to create deeper connections with their audience. Some of the ways in which the quizzes feature has been suggested for use is in the education space to help cement viewers' learnings. If you're a brand looking to educate your viewers in a fun, playful way on YouTube, it might be worth keeping tabs on this test to see if or when it rolls out in full. For my second story, I'm highlighting the incredibly important campaign by Women's Aid called He's Coming Home. As the World Cup gets underway, so too does domestic violence, with abuse in the home rising by around 37% when a game is on, leading to many women across the country living in fear. This stat is from a wider report from Lancaster University that further revealed that even when England won or drew a World Cup match, domestic abuse still rose by 26%. This is a significant campaign with a powerful message, and the billboards for it can be found up and down the country, featuring the England flag with the words "He's coming home" in bold lettering over the top. Alongside the billboards, there is a wider video campaign and celebrity endorsement from Women's Aid patrons Dame Julie Walters and Spice Girls Mel B. One police officer has been quoted saying, "The World Cup appears a reason for many to party. However, delight and expectation can turn into despair and conflict with the kick of a ball. Although it is difficult to say the tournament is a causal factor, the prestigious tournament does concentrate the risk factors into a short and volatile period, thereby intensifying the concepts of masculinity, rivalry, and aggression." If you are interested in finding out more, I recommend heading to womensaid.org.uk. And for my final story, Lush, the UK beauty brand, is encouraging other brands to step away from social media giants Meta and TikTok, just 1 year after they pulled all of their brand channels from these platforms. Speaking to The Drum, Annabelle Baker, Lush's brand and marketing director, shares how there were some initial challenges when coming off of the platforms, including how to manage customer service when consumers today are so used to firing off a quick DM on Facebook or Instagram. To overcome these hurdles, Lush has added its own live chat function to its website, and it's also rolling out a text messaging service where users can directly chat about their products and orders. Interestingly, coming off of Meta and TikTok didn't have too much of an impact in its APAC region, where user numbers aren't as heavy. However, brand awareness and brand saliency took a heavy hit in the US, where these channels are far more prolific. To counteract the loss in upper funnel activity, Lush have reinvested their social budgets into PR and experiential activities, as well as collaborations. Ultimately, something that advertising great Bill Birnbach said was that for something to be considered purpose, then it has to cost you something. In this instance, Lush believe very strongly that the social media platforms need to take responsibility for their impact on young people and how they approach people's privacy, and are prepared to take a drop in brand saliency in order to prove their point. And that's the top stories from me, Pollyanna Ward. Thank you for listening, and until next time, have a great week.
A big thank you to Pollyanna for this week's news. As ever, so much going on. We love to hear your thoughts and opinions, and it's also great when we get questions about your media weeks that you'd like answered. So please do get in touch with us at the Media Weekly Podcast by dropping us a note. You can reach us by email at maketheleap@phdmedia.com. That's maketheleap@phdmedia.com. Coming up now is our conversation with Mark, Corinne, and Toby. Today, we are speaking to Mark Holden, Worldwide CSO at PhD, Corinne Courtemanche, CEO of PhD and Touche Canada, and Toby Hack, CEO of PhD EMEA. We will be hearing their perspectives about the key leaps they think marketers will need to make in 2023. Welcome, everyone. Great to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
Great to be here.
Great to be here.
Thank you so much for coming. And how is it coming to the end of 2022 already, right? We say this all the time on the podcast, the marketing and media landscapes are evolving rapidly as ever. So we're really excited to speak to you today about what you think lies ahead.
Can't wait to get into it.
Let's do exactly that. What are those big leaps that marketers should be thinking about ahead of 2023? What are the big topics, themes, and agenda points that you think it's really important that marketers get across? Mark, let me go to you first. What for you is the big leap, topic, theme that's bubbling away for 2023 that you think marketers should be really live to, they should be really attuned to and ready for?
It's one of the questions that I'm getting asked most, actually, and it's the area that we've called organization design. And it's a term that's used more widely than our own language, but it's what we're terming it. And it's effectively, where are capabilities best housed, whether in-house or outsourced? And if outsourced, is it into hubs? Is it offshore, in market? I mean, how does the whole thing kind of click together? And I think having spent the last 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years building up capabilities quickly as the world has changed, I think many marketers are now sort of looking around themselves to sort of, you know, ask the question, is everything in its right place? Is it linked up correctly, etc.? And I think organization design is really going to be important. And just the last thing to say on this, I think that if you were to consider this, that it would be a freak of coincidence if any client's current organizational structure was optimized. If you take that point of view, then what it means that there is money on the floor that's not being picked up by thinking about how things are better connected, organized, and potentially, you know, tens of millions of pounds worth of value through effectiveness, synergies, etc. So organization design, I think, will be increasingly front and center in the minds of clients next year.
And why do you think now? Why do you think as we move from 22 to 23, this is something that is occupying the minds of a lot of marketers? Is it post data compliance? Is it new data kind of regulations and remits? Is it increasing complexity? Is it the wake of all the change we saw during the pandemic and the accelerations into things like commerce? Is it a moment in time, or do you think this would have happened anyway?
I think it would have happened anyway. I think post-pandemic, I think there is a sort of reflection moment where people sort of re-engaged, re-entered and thought about, you know, how we might want to refresh or reset things. I think that's a catalyst for considering what we currently have in place. So I think that's a major factor on why it's come in one go. And I think also there's probably a sense that there are additional capabilities now that we need to start thinking about with the area, you know, areas of creative engineering and generative creativity in the form of AI. There's lots of additional capabilities we're going to need to start thinking about. And before we start investing in those and building those, we need to make sure that everything's in its right place beforehand. So I think a couple of things. One, post-pandemic. Two, a kind of let's get the house in order before we start to build the next layer of activities and capabilities.
Corinne, Toby, perspectives on organizational design and the importance of that in 2023?
Well, I mean, certainly from my point of view, I actually think Mark's really hit on something really prevalent, really prevalent conversation right now. We're having it all the time. I do agree that there's a moment in time that has created an opportunity for big discussions around organizational change. I think the key question that I want us to focus on as well is, how do we reflect that in our own structures? So how do we make sure that our services are reflective of what our clients need and ensuring that we're delivering not only for now, but also as those structures change? I think You know, you're always watching evolutions in terms of client structures and agency structures. So how do we get a little bit ahead of that so we can make sure that everything works as well as it should, but also we're driving the right kind of efficiencies and we're ready for whatever change there is? You know, undoubtedly, the next couple of years are going to be financially more difficult for all of our clients. So we need to make sure that we are, you know, being very fleet of foot in terms of how we deliver our services and also those services as good as they can be. So a lot of thought needs to go into our structural change too.
Personally, what I love about this question, Mark, is who's responsible for driving this change and who's behind this thinking? Up until a couple of years ago, it was the sole responsibility of audit firms and consultants who would come in, make their recommendation, they're in, they're out, and the implementation of their recommendation was always very difficult. So how do you see that evolving and whose responsibilities is it going to be having those tough conversations around organizational design?
It's a really good question. I think it has to be a mix of different stakeholders that are involved to get the breadth of perspective that you need. And I think what the agency, or in this case PhD, what the agency would bring to mind or bring to the table is just a clarity and precision view on things. For example, tag management. Where does tag management best sit? That's a question that seems to make sense until you really understand the nature of what tag management might require. And then you decompose it into four component parts. And then you realize this needs to sit here. These two bits can sit over there. But then how do they connect together in the entire system? So it's about precision thinking. And I think that the agency really can do that and bring that to the party. And it's not fair to put down the shoulders of a consultancy that just isn't in the day-to-day reality of campaigns and the work. So it's a combination of multiple stakeholders.
So I think you're onto it there, Mark. Precision thinking, that's exactly right. You need to understand the organization and how it affects, and so that you can affect that change within it. I think that's spot on. I think that is hard for external consultants to do that without knowing the day-to-day rhythms of those businesses. So I do think we have an additional responsibility as an agency to ensure that we are making sure we deliver those services the way they're required and the way they land most effectively as well.
And another reasons for that is that there's no such thing as one single answer. It's going to be different for each organizations, and knowing the intricacies and what's different about each of our clients, I believe that's key to success. And perhaps that's what's been missing in the last couple of years, was to come with cookie cutter solutions for each client, and each organization is so different from one another. There needs to be customization in those organizational design solutions. Tough word.
Well done.
Help me through this interview.
Well done. Yes. You managed to capture every single syllable in that word. I was counting them off as you were talking. I think also this connects also to the point about agency's relationship with the client changing and becoming, we talk about, you know, agency as a platform, you know, but I think it's important to build that into the thinking. You know, how can the agency be, you know, not be a separate company in a sense where the client lobs a brief over a wall and waits for the answer, but instead becomes deeply integrated and provides platform-based services. And there's some capabilities the client might be best to run in-house, and how do we basically augment and support those with additional service layers within the agency? And I think that for me is really interesting, is about how to start to create that much more deeply integrated connection between ourselves and the clients. And also think about how third-party companies come in, you know, media owners and tech companies, and how we build concession areas within our own organization, et cetera, for tech partners. So it's really an exciting future, I think, in that sense. And I think it really will. It's already started to become a conversation top of the agenda for this year. I think we'll really start to see it start to mature next year.
Time for a short break. We'll be right back with more leaps for 2023 right after this.
Marketing today can be pretty complicated. Advancements in data and technology have radically reorganized the world for marketers. As an industry, we need to get ahead of the rapid change and stop just responding to it. To think longer term, to start building the future today. Introducing Shift, a new book which brings together the opinions of leaders across the world of marketing communications, plus exclusive research to help marketers and their agencies rethink marketing for tomorrow, today. To find out more and buy the book, visit shiftbyphd.com. That's shiftbyphd.com.
Well,
Welcome back to the show. We were just discussing the need for clarity and precision thinking in organizational design and how important and exciting that is to move forward next year. Corinne, let's turn to you. What big trends and opportunities do you see on the horizon that marketers should be considering?
This is a great conversation. And the one leap I'd like to propose to this group is the need to have a purpose to purposeful marketing. So I believe that marketers will be more sensitive to the purpose of purposeful marketing being both the purpose, but also to deliver sustainable growth. I believe that this component of purpose being sustainable is extremely important. Unfortunately, I cannot be credited for that thought. It is one that was brought forth by Mark Pritchard from Procter & Gamble at Cannes this year, and there were a lot of conversations around this topic. And just like Chris asked Mark the question about what are the reasons behind this change in the sleep, the same can be applied to purposeful marketing. Why are we going to put more pressure on the outcomes of those campaigns? First one is the economy, as we're going to be facing more stretched financial times. I believe there will be more pressure on measurement and the outcomes that are generated by such campaigns. The second one, which I believe is an interesting trend, is how consumers are getting more and more cynical coming out of COVID. In Cannes again this year, there were a lot of brands who were talking about their purpose. And whenever a brand was on stage and they talked about their DEI initiatives, for instance, there was always somebody in the room who would stand up and say, but what about your carbon footprint? Or if somebody talked about gender equality, somebody would ask questions about their political stance on this and that issues. So to be able to do good, purposeful marketing nowadays, now every brand has to be cleaner than clean. And it's getting extremely difficult to play that field. So I think it's going to put a lot more pressure on purposeful marketing for the years to come.
Great. Thanks, Corinne. Really, really important to remember that purpose and business growth can and do go hand in hand, and that purpose-led initiatives need to be really authentic. So Mark and Toby, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's fantastic that organizations do set a purpose, because obviously, you know, if you work for any organization, if you don't have some sense of collective endeavor in your day-to-day role, trying to achieve something meaningful, you become isolated and you can languish. It's not fun working in those organizations. So I think purpose is really important to galvanize individuals together. I think whether you communicate your purpose in advertising is obviously a separate issue from that. And it might be that that is the right thing to do because of the, obviously, the internal benefit you get, but also because you want to talk about what you're doing. But I don't know whether it's always essential to talk about it. I mean, from a Marcom's perspective, you can definitely build positive return on investment with purpose as a messaging, but it depends how you do it, right? If you can do it in a way that does link to the major need states that drive category purchase, then it's going to work, I'm sure. I think for me, for marketeers, I think it's good to do. I would almost allow people to think about it as purpose, purpose, but not perfect. So don't have to be... You don't have to be perfect. You can have set the intent from an organizational perspective and say, this is what we want to achieve, and to say that we're going to try as much as we can to get there. But know that if it just requires on the threshold of being perfect, then very few organizations could ever do purpose. So I think I would probably counsel on that basis.
I think, Mark, what you said there is spot on. I think all of us are looking for some meaning, aren't we? We all prefer to have meaning to our day-to-day and to have purpose to what we're trying to do, and I think that's right. I think your point as well, is it necessary in terms of marketing comms? Depends on the brand, depends as well on the kind of consumer and how, you know, and sometimes the purpose can appear to consumers to be a little bit cynical, right? Obviously, that's not what any of us would ever want to advocate. But I think the truth is what's really interesting is more the growth side of this is, growth doesn't have to be ugly. Growth can be with purpose, can be meaningful, and can be positive if it's done well. And I think that's really the upside here, is how you drive growth from a positive perspective, rather than just something which is just about driving more, which I think can seem a little bit lost, right, and a little bit unnecessary to consumers and to all of us as well.
Yeah, I believe Markholm is right. And I think what it shows is that the same measurement framework that we use for any other campaign should be applied to our purposeful marketing campaigns because they work. Most of the time, they ended up working. But I believe there's a tendency to apply different KPIs to those campaigns, which are not the growth of the brands and the business outcomes. And we shouldn't be afraid to apply the same measurement framework to those campaigns because there's a lot of benefits to those.
Just to agree, I think you're right. I think we've got to be really clear on the KPIs through which we're assessing it by. And it might even be hard to pick up in market mix modeling because it might be having a very, very long-term effect on the brand, which we know that some of those long-term KPIs make more shorter-term KPIs like saliencies, impact on sales, makes it more bouncy. So we just need to get better about thinking about how we're going to measure it. I think also, just to come back to the point made earlier, I mean, that Malcolm mentioned, you know, the question, you know, do purpose campaigns pay back? I mean, for me, when I hear that, it's almost like saying, do campaigns using the color blue pay back? It's, you know, you can make purpose campaigns pay back if they're fantastic campaigns and distinctive and, again, build to the need states, driving category purchase or start new ones. I mean, you can or you can make purpose campaigns that don't work at all. So I think it's the sort of the wrong question to ask whether they pay back or not. But I think the manifold effects or payback you get from purpose from an organizational perspective, which, again, is really hard to track. I think that's where the value can really come in.
I think the other point to make is, and it's one that was made by Malcolm Devoy, who's PhD's global chief planning officer. But he made a good point that the reason why a lot of purposeful campaigns work is not because they're purposeful. It's because often when you land a purposeful campaign in market, then it tends to be reaching broad, unsegmented audiences over a long period of time. It tends to be brave, it tends to be highly creative and cut through, and it also tends to attract investment behind it, which increases excess share voice. So a lot of the things that purposeful campaigns unlock, they're not unlocking just because they're purposeful, because they unlock sound, grounded marketing science. But by doing so, let's broaden out now. Toby, your leap for
Yes, absolutely. So a topic which is increasingly noisy and loud and for lots of very good reasons is, and one that I'm sure will become even more prevalent in 2023, is the increasing importance of environmental, social and governance issues, so ESG issues, and the role of diversity in driving creativity. So to your point, the premise here is that not only is diversity, but also a focus on the environment, do those two things drive creativity? Now, we know it's the right thing to do, and there's also consumer pressure in this space as well to ensure that actually brands are operating in a positive way. So three core elements then. You know, it's absolutely the right thing to do. It actually drives creativity and actually greater client pressure in terms of growth as well. So it's worthwhile just touching on this for a second, because I think there's good evidence, particularly from the Boston Consulting Group, that actually an increase in diversity does correlate to higher levels of both creativity and innovation, which also are driving improved financial performance for clients. So when we have evidence like this, then those purpose drivers or the things that we know that we ought to do become even more important because there are commercial reasons that sit behind them as well. And so there's real positivity in this space, and I'm certain that greater work is only going to come from this focus.
And of course, massive impetus off the back of COP27. I mean, there are different versions of how successful that was, but what everyone is clear on is that brands can't sit on the sidelines anymore. There's absolutely a need from brands and businesses, whether it's through organizational approaches or whether it's through the supply chain and through scope three. It's really important that the brands don't sit on the sidelines as we go into 2023, right?
Yeah, totally. And outside of just of that responsibility piece, if it does drive the bottom line at the same time, then there's every reason in the world to ensure that we're all focused in this space. And it's true, right? I mean, obviously, a focus on diversity drives fresher thinking. We know it creates different sets of ideas. We know that an approach which is more connected to consumers and reflecting wider values only means that we add new perspectives to our thinking, which only means that thinking is fresher. And that can only be a good thing.
And it's definitely something that we saw in pitches this year. As we approach new business, there were an unprecedented amount of questions around our DEI policies, but also how we apply them and how we would monitor the footprint of our campaigns. And that was a fun space to be in, and quite frankly, one where our employees were really engaged and felt compelled to be working for brands asking such questions.
So I agree with that. I also think that we have a corporate responsibility here, don't we? So, you know, we know that we have strength and scale that we can drive, you know, ethical change through, a positive ethical change, and we should be advocates for that kind of institutional inclusion.
I think it's a very good thing. And included into that would also be cognitive diversity and making sure that we embrace different the way minds work differently and actually get people to understand also the cognitive strengths of perhaps how their minds work, and then encourage people to get into the right swim lanes off the back of that. So, you know, if your brain works a certain way, you might be a fantastic data analyst, or you might be a very good sort of pattern recognizer, so therefore someone who's fantastic with creativity, ideas, innovation, spotting opportunities. So understanding the way your mind works and understanding how to get people into swim lanes off the back of those things are, again, another really important part of that.
And I think our hosts are going to be happy because it goes full circle to the design of organizations, because I think diversity should be planned within the organizations. And that's where we can help building teams with our clients that are diverse in terms of the individuals that we bring on board, but also which disciplines are being involved in the day-to-day. And that's how creativity and innovation comes in.
But I guess that's the point, isn't it? And actually, these three topic areas are all inextricably linked, whether it's the structure or the people we have and the purpose we give them and what our focus is as a business. I think these three areas of purpose, organizational design, and ESG are absolutely brought together. And so it's really good that we had this conversation as a one whole.
I think that's a fantastic point to bring the discussion to a close. Actually, we've really come full circle. And that about wraps it up for this episode. Thank you to Mark, Corinne, and Toby for sharing their perspectives today and the thought-provoking discussions. It's clearly a really exciting time for marketing and media, and I think we covered some fantastic principles to bring into 2023 to set marketers up for success. So Mark, Corinne, Toby, thank you so much for coming on the show.
And that's it for this episode of the Media Weekly from PhD. We love it when you get in touch. Please drop us a line. Let us know what you think about any of the things we covered in today's episode, whether it's organizational design, the purpose of purpose, or the broader ESG agenda. You can email us at maketheleap@phdmedia.com. A big thank you again to Mark, Corinne, and Toby, and thank you for listening. To find out more about PhD and what we do, just head to phdmedia.com. We'll be back next week for part two. In the meantime, enjoy making some media leaps in the week ahead, wherever and whenever you are in the world. Bye for now.